Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And whether it is your first time with us or you have been here your whole life, we are so glad that you are here. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars with all the opportunities in which we live out the way we are church together. You can take a look at those. And of course, as always, we have a few announcements this morning to share more about that. Don't forget to sign your name to the hospitality register that is in your pew. It'll be passed down. That way we can greet one another by name. A few announcements we have this morning. We'll start with Roy.
The time has come to sign up for special music over the course of the summer. The choir will be off from July until September, and last I saw, the schedule was completely blank out there, so if you'd like to do special music, you have your choice of the dates, but hurry back there as soon as the service ends.
Good morning. Last week, seven of us participated in the crop walk, and we were able to raise $600. Thank you so much to many of you who sponsored us. And we'll be in the foyer after service to collect your donations. And if you didn't get a chance to give last week, it's not too late because it's for a worthy cause, hunger. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Again this year, we're going to have the Red Wings baseball game. It's going to be July 5th. And this year, at least on schedule as of right now, the RPO is scheduled to play. It's $6 a ticket. It's going to be a great weekend. Hopefully we'll have some great weather. Fireworks that night as well. You come down to Fellowship Hall or wherever we're selling tickets. I don't know with the garage sale coming up. But come on down, get your ticket, sign up. We'd love to have you.
Please note it's only 3 weeks to the yard sale, and this is my first announcement about it. We're going to be setting up on Saturday and need lots of help, people with trucks to help us get the shelves and the tables from the garage and the shed. At this point, it's going to be Kathy Goody-Kuntz and me. So if you can sign up on the kiosk after worship, that would be wonderful. Also, first day for donations is next week after worship, 11:15 until 12:30. And curb shopping is recycling. If you see things that are worthwhile, that people have cleaned out of their garages and attics and basements, don't be ashamed to pick them up and bring them. Thank you.
Morning. Thanks for the reminder on Mother's Day, Gary. duh. The Clinker Bricks 5K is coming up in 6 weeks. I hope you're out there training. I've got flyers out on the table by the front door. You can help by grabbing a few, taking them to work or to your health club and posting it and just letting people know. So grab as many as you want. They're all bright colors and help spread the word. Thanks.
Thank you. And now to present the Mustard Seed Scholarship, Chuck Goody-Kuntz.
Good morning. It's my privilege to be with you today as we celebrate Mother's Day and honor the outstanding youth of Gates Presbyterian Church with the presentation of the 2013 Mustard Seed Scholarship. It's also a time of remembrance of the 13 people who joined God in everlasting life and are memorialized through gifts to the Mustard Seed Scholarship Fund. In particular, we remember our friend Frank Roberts, who planted our mustard seed with his very generous gift of $10,000 in 1997. As a committee, we always remember Frank in our discussions and his vision of the Mustard Seed Scholarship making a significant difference in the lives of our youth. Since Frank's initial gift, we've received 234 contributions, including one-time gifts, annual gifts, honorariums, memorial gifts, and bequests. And last year, we reached a milestone when Mike Wynn, a regular and generous donor to the Mustard Seed Fund, made the contribution that pushed our total donations received over the $100,000 mark. Thanks to Frank and to Mike and to all who have shared Frank's vision and contributed to the Mustard Seed Fund, and to all of you for your unwavering commitment to the wonderful young people of our congregation. We've been good stewards with these gifts. The March balance of Mustard Seed Fund was $92,825. Including this year's scholarship payments, which will be made in late July, the Mustard Seed scholarships have paid out almost $50,000 to deserving GPC youth. As you can see, we've done reasonably well managing our investments. And this will be the seventh consecutive year that we will be awarding a $6,000 scholarship. Before making this year's presentation, we need to thank the Mustard Seed Committee for their dedicated work. The committee members are Jenny Barley, Kay Harder, who's here with me, Jim Madaw, Holly Moore, Mary Waugh, and Mike Wynn. As I told our applicants during our fireside chats last week, we don't meet often, but we have the toughest job of any of the committees here at church as we thoughtfully and prayerfully make our selection. After the service, please take a moment to thank each of these committee members for their service. The Mustard Seed Scholarship is a faith-based scholarship that takes its name from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, in which the apostles asked the Lord to increase our faith. The Lord's reply to the apostles began with this phrase, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed." The scripture in Luke chapter 17, verse 6 is very similar. The common theme of these verses is that the mustard seed grows rapidly from a tiny seed into a larger plant, and that like the mustard seed, the personal faith of the apostles could also flourish from just a small beginning and grow to accomplish many great things. With faith, nothing is impossible. Each applicant for the Mustard Seed Scholarship writes an essay on one of four select faith-based topics, gets two letters of recommendation, and participates in a brief fireside chat with our Mustard Seed Committee. From our chats with this year's applicants, the importance and impact of our youth work projects on their faith journey was very evident. One applicant wrote in their essay, "The work at these projects opened my eyes to how easy helping can be." We need to thank Carol Ann for her many years of outstanding leadership of our youth program and for helping to instill these values in our youth. By the way, you should be aware, a little aside here, that she wrote the curriculum for the work projects, and that each year in the four-year rotation has a different theme. And while she can't spell worth a hoot, I have encouraged her to look into publishing her works. It's that good. Spell check, Carol Ann, spell check. Also evident from the essays in our chats was the importance of the participation of our youth in every aspect of our church's life. Another applicant wrote, "My membership with this church has grown exponentially, providing treasured life experiences and influencing my faith, my worldview, and my plans for the future. The nurturing and encouragement that you all provide has clearly had a profound effect on our youth. Thank you again for your ongoing spiritual and financial support of our youth." The Mustard Seed Scholarship, in addition to being an affirmation of all of our youth and their faith journey, seeks to make a significant contribution towards the ongoing education of a deserving GPC youth. We're pleased to be able to continue to do that again by awarding a four-year, $1,500 per year scholarship. The recipient of this year's Mustard Seed Scholarship is Matt Hasenlob, a senior at Gates Charlie High School. Matt, would you come up front? Matt has been an active participant in youth group, Sunday school, youth choir, work projects, church dinners, church mouse bazaar, and the yard sale. He's also served as a youth elder and as a lay reader. In the fall, he'll be attending MCC, where he plans to study to be a biotechnician. He's looking into a 2+2 program, though he's not sure at this time where he'll attend his final 2 years of school. Upon graduation, he hopes to be involved with doing laboratory research. Matt, your faith, like the mustard seed becoming a tree, has grown to be an important part of your life. So as your GPC family sends you off to college next fall, in addition to this scholarship certificate and, of course, the tuition money, we'd like to present you with this Bible to assist you in the continuation of your faith journey, and also a commemorative mustard seed coin. Congratulations, Matt. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all of our young disciples and the commitment and work they've done to make our community and world a better place. Today, we especially give thanks for all of our graduating high school seniors. May you continue to guide them and bless them during their college years and throughout the rest of their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Congratulations, Matt. Let us now continue our time of worship.
Bring your attention to the call of worship. All rise if you're able. The heavens proclaim your glory, O God. May we gather as your community. That all may gather here to proclaim you, God, of all the earth. Thanks to your holy name.
When we come to God confessing our wrongdoings, we can be confident that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the litany prayer of confession. Liberating God, we pray for those imprisoned in a silence not of their own, where a world has decided to take their voice and replace it with a deeper silence made of prejudice and fear, and power. Hear us as we confess the times we have ignored another's need, leaving them without a voice to cry for justice, to cry for peace, to cry for truth. May we share their silence in our confession. We confess the times we have turned our backs on those who are too much trouble. We confess the times we have not listened to others' needs. Hear us, O God. We confess what we have taken for ourselves, that which belongs to another. Hear us, O God. We confess the times we have chosen not to see others. Hear us, O God. We confess the times we have lost our own voice because of fear of speaking the truth. Hear us, O God. We confess the times we have not been your disciples in seeking peace and inclusion and freedom. Hear us, O God. Amen. O God, we hear your voice speak up for us with words of forgiveness and affirmation. May we raise our voices for those who are imprisoned in ways of silence and break that silence as you have broken ours. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Wait, really? Seriously? Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Much better. Much better. So today is Mother's Day, and I hope that this morning, as soon as you popped out of bed, you gave your mom a big hug and told her that you loved her. And I hope that you didn't. Well, there's still time for that. Still time for that. All right, well, it sounds like you've got a few things to do when you get home today. I also hope you told all the special women in your lives how much you appreciate them and love them, because I know, I see that lots of you have very special grandmothers and aunts, even teachers. So this is a good day to tell all those women how much you love them. Now, I've brought a book to share with you about love, and it's called No Matter What. Looks pretty funny, huh? All right, let's get to the... Small was feeling grim and grumpy. Good grief, said Large. What's the matter?
I'm grim and I'm grumpy, said Little Small. And I don't think you love me at all. Oh, Small, said Large, grumpy or not, I always love you no matter what.
If I were a grumpy grizzly bear, would you still love me? Would you care? Of course, said Large, bear or not, I always love you no matter what. But if I turned into a squishy bug, would you still love me and give me a hug? Of course, said Large, bug or not, I'll always love you no matter what. No matter what, said Small with a smile. What if I were a crocodile? I'd still hold you close and snug and tight and tuck you up in bed each night. But does love wear out? Does it break or bend? Can you fix it or patch it? Does it mend? With time together, a smile and a kiss, love can be mended. Well, but what about when you're far away? Does your love go too? Or does it stay? Look up at the stars. They're far, far away. But their light reaches us at the end of each day. It's like that with love. You may be close, you may be far. But our love still surrounds us wherever you are. I picked this book to read to you today because it reminded me of God's love for us. That God loves us even when we're a little bit grumpy. Sometimes when we maybe don't always do the right things, God keeps loving us all the time. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for the people in our lives who love us all the time. Thank you for your love and that you love us all the time. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
First reading is from the Old Testament, Psalms 97. The Lord has become king. Let the earth be glad. Let coasts and islands all rejoice. Cloud and thick mist enfold him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Fire goes ahead of him and consumes his enemies all around. His lightning flashes light upon the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax at the Lord's approach and the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness and all people see his glory. May those who worship images, those who vaunt their idols, may they all be put to shame. Bow down, all you gods before him. Zion heard and rejoiced, Lord. Judah's cities are glad at your judgments. For you, Lord, are most high over all the earth, far exalted above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He keeps his loyal servants safe and rescues them from the power of the wicked. A harvest of light is risen for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. You that are righteous, rejoice in the Lord and praise his holy name.
Second scripture reading this morning picks up right where we left off last week in the book of Acts. We join Paul and his companions as they journey through Philippi. Hear the word of God as it speaks to us today. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, We met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. while she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowds joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he became a believer in God. Unlike the story of the young women kidnapped in Cleveland, where the debate carries on about whether or not the police responded to neighbors' repeated attempts to report suspicious behavior in the house where three women were held for 10 years, our scripture story for this morning, no one is reporting the owners of a slave girl in the Roman colony of Philippi. Paul and the other disciples may not have even noticed her had she not been following them around, shouting at them and annoying them greatly. There was nothing unusual in this place and in that time about a child being sold to owners that would exploit whatever labor or skills they put to use, earning the most profit. The young slave girl apparently had this skill of telling people's fortunes. Or at least she was very convincing in the story she made up to tell people, to the people her owners brought to her so that they could make quite a profit. The whole scenario sets up this story, and it seems absurd. But like Paul, the American Christian community today often does not look as closely as it needs to at the depth of human sinfulness when we treat people like commodities rather than as children of God. Many of the same practices from ancient biblical times continue today in places where men and women and children are made vulnerable by poverty, natural disaster, civil conflict, or a basic desire for a better life. In these places, human beings are trafficked across international borders or within their own countries, lured by the promises of a better and brighter future. Many young women and young men come from developing countries and are pressed, forced into modern-day slavery. Migrants on our own southern border here in the United States who cannot afford to pay a smuggler's crossing fee are held captive and then used as forced labor in a variety of settings here in the United States, from tomato fields to sweatshops. Children from developing countries in Asia, Africa, Central and South America, and Central and Eastern Europe are trafficked to the United States for the sex trade, child labor, and pornography. American children and youth are also trafficked within this country for sexual exploitation. Rather than turning away from or simply ignoring the victims of modern-day slavery, here at Gates Presbyterian Church, we have been in many ways involved in raising awareness and hearing firsthand those stories of the young men and women in a place where human trafficking is very real. In our relationship with the congregation at the Negril United Church in Jamaica, many of you all have visited and learned about the alternative school called the Theodora Project. The Theodora Project, for those who don't know, was started by this very small congregation in Negril under the leadership of the Reverend Margaret Fowler in order to provide basic literacy and math skills for young men and women, providing them with the necessary job skills needed for their survival. Thanks to Carol Ann this week, I had the opportunity to correspond via email with a former teacher at the Theodora Project by the name of Lynette Lynch. Lynette and I wrote back and forth about how most of the families in Jamaica are trying so hard to get their children to school. And we've seen those efforts come to fruition from the number of little ones we have interacted with at the basic school that we are in the process of rebuilding with the Negril Church. But once these little ones grow and get to high school age, it costs a lot of money to not only get the to transport the child, but also pay for the child's education. If kids aren't doing well, or they don't receive a scholarship, or their parents can't find the means to pay the taxi to get them to the high school, the parents are then forced to turn their kids out onto the streets so they can earn their keep. And this is when the Theodora Project tries to help these young men and women before they end up in the sex trade and human trafficking. And they tell their stories in a wonderful book called Our World, Our Stories. And they talk about how many of them have already experienced the harsh realities of this paradise island. Lynette shares about a group of girls who were in her class. No matter how engaging she tried to make the material, these young girls kept nodding off and falling asleep. It didn't take long for Lynette to learn that these girls were dancing and turning tricks all night long, and then would go home, clean themselves up, put their uniforms on, and try to spend all day in class. Unfortunately, most of these girls did not finish their classes with the Theodora Project because the promises for economic prosperity through the sex trade are made to sound very alluring for young people, even though the reality for them will never be actualized. These stories are not limited to tropical islands or communities far away across the globe. If you are interested in learning more about how modern-day slavery and human trafficking affects the Rochester community, this week, the Little Theater is screening the documentary Not My Life. And each screening includes a panel discussion of those from Rochester who are directly involved in the effects of human trafficking. There's more information in your bulletin. As the founder of Theodora Project, the Reverend Margaret Fowler, points out, human trafficking is an extremely complex issue. And it is also extremely profitable. That's what got Paul and Silas into so much trouble in Philippi. When Paul freed the slave girl in the name of Jesus Christ from whatever demon they had interpreted as giving her the ability to tell the future, Paul and Silas completely obliterated her economic worth to her owners. The slave owner now has no use for her anymore. She's not going to earn them any money. There has been a collision here between the gospel of Jesus Christ and economic self-interest, a business enterprise. Will Willimon imagines the girl's furious owners saying, "We're not against a little religion as long as it's kept in its place." This is another matter. Religion has somehow gotten mixed up with economics here. And so her owners do what vested interests always do when their interests are threatened. The slave owners haul Paul and Silas to the high court and make the case that these two Jews obviously don't know how things work with the Roman people. The Roman ways are all about taking advantage and exploiting whatever necessary, including human beings, to further the economic growth of the empire. Basic economic principles are at play here. Supply cheap goods and services to meet the increasing demands of the consumers. Breach the peace that economic stability promises, and there will be consequences. Paul may not have seen with his eyes the endemic evil that was part of the Roman Empire, and one which it was based on slavery itself. It was taken for granted. It was big business. The main mission for that generation that we will see in the early church was that of reaching the Gentiles. In doing that, the foundations of slavery were slowly being disturbed. Paul will write about it more in the letters to the churches. But it was a much later generation of the church that tackled the British Empire and European and newly emerging American nation on the issue of slavery, on which their wealth was based. The sugar and cotton trades, huge in the industrial age, were built on slavery. And the same gospel was preached, the same motives resisted. Money was going to be lost, and the same threats. What do you know? You're just the church. You're disturbing our peaceful empire of economic stability. As it happens, this national holiday that we tend to over-sentimentalize with flowers, chocolate, and Hallmark cards Not that I'm against flowers or chocolate, especially chocolate. Began with a woman by the name of Julia Ward Howe when she called upon women worldwide to take a stand against injustice. In 1870, it happened to be the Franco-Prussian War that Julia Ward Howe spoke out against in her pacifist manifesto, also known as her appeal to womanhood throughout the world, in which she declared, "The sword of murder is not the balance of justice." Well said. And she wanted women to join with her together for a day to advocate for peace. 3 years later, she organized the first Mother's Day Peace Festival in 18 cities throughout this country. It turned out, as she reported in her autobiography, the ladies were not much interested in my scheme of a worldwide protest of women against the cruelties of war. It's tough work to disturb what is perceived as the peaceable empires of injustice cloaked in the language of economic stability. Sometimes we even feel helpless to change what exists, and we find it easier just to turn the other way than to stand up for what is right. And so that first step that Julia Ward Howe called for and is called for today is to not turn the other way. Don't be naive that these things are just happening in places like India and Africa and Jamaica. They are happening here as well. The next step is to keep learning, keep asking those questions. What is the impact that slavery has on our local and global economy? How do I participate in that? How do I learn more about the purchases that I make and whether or not they are responsible and don't support economic systems of slavery? Keep learning for yourself. Yes, slavery is a very complicated issue, but we don't go it alone. We can join the efforts of this small church in Jamaica and continue to support the work of the Theodora Project. But we can also make a difference here in our local community. While most of us can't jump on a plane and volunteer to tutor young men and women in Negril, we can find our way just a few miles down Lyle Avenue and support Cameron Community Ministries. Education is one of the most important ways we can invest in the lives of children and upset the economy of global slavery and human trafficking. This Mother's Day, may we embrace the intent of Julia Ward Howe to practice peace, do justice, and work together for the lives of all God's children. Thanks be to God. We're now going to join together in a time of prayer. So Carol Ann and I, as we make our way to the communion table, are invited to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern this day. Yes, I realize I'm skipping the hymn. I know. It's okay.
Good morning, Jenny Barley. I'd like to thank all of you for your thoughts, your prayers, your cards, and your phone calls after my surgery last week, particularly to Bonnie Beckett. who delivered a beautiful handmade prayer shawl. I love it, and thank you all.
Matt DeRosia, just asking for prayers for our family. My Uncle John, he passed away yesterday, so just prayers of support for the family. Thanks.
And we have the prayers from our children this morning. A lot of prayers of joy for mothers. I'm glad they're thankful for us. Prayers of joy that family members are doing well after surgery, and prayers of joy for receiving a Color Guard award. Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy One, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports, nurtures, and challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us to work for peace and justice for all your children. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all the blessings that you so generously offer us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for mothers the world over. We give thanks for all those who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering especially birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all women who have shared their faith with us. We pray, compassionate God, for mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned, or disappointed in their role as mothers. We pray for those who have been denied a longed-for chance at motherhood, and for those whose years of mothering have been cut short by the loss of a child. We lift up before you, O God, the members of our human family around the world, for those who are afflicted or suffering at this time, for those who need healing, for those who require bread and shelter, for those who live in violent homes and communities, for those who are grieving, for those whose needs are known to you alone. God, we remember from our community this day, Bill McMahon, as he continues his journey as he is at Rochester General Hospital. God, may your healing arms of peace surround him. Holy Mother and Father of us all, touch us with your healing peace and gentle embrace, that we may walk in your ways, bringing dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of your world. All of this we pray in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us celebrate the many blessings of God in our lives by returning a portion of those in thanksgiving. Let us receive the morning offering. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, most glorious and loving God, please receive these gifts of our tithes and of our offerings, a small token of the abundance that you give to us. May be used to bring glory to your name, bring your light and compassion and love in this troubled world. In all this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And may that song continue in each of your hearts as you go out into the world this week, knowing that Christ surrounds you in all that you say and do. And may the love of God be with you and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God now and always. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.
to pick up the organ.